Ramsey TV.
I tried to get through Romans 8 yesterday. No, I really did. I really did try. I wanted to get through it. It was my plan to end it right there last night, but what did I get off on? Oh, the topic of free will and Janet. I talked to her today. It was not good. I said that I had given up on her, and that I said again, good luck with the locusts, and it was just not good. So this is one of those times where you just, like Jesus said to the disciples when he sent them house to house, he said, whoever rejects you, just shake the dust off your feet and move on. It's better for the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that household, in the day of judgment. So poor Janet and Pastor Marie from Lima are going to be having a rough time in the tribulation. But remember, as a member of the body of Christ, I shall be snatched away with you before the tribulation. I'll be able to come down and help Janet. And it'll definitely be a case of, how do you like me now? You know, it's almost a shame to cover up this new haircut with my headphones. So I'll just take off my headphones for a little bit so you can enjoy this new haircut of mine. So today I'm working on some Jim Beam Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey. Here it is. Gonna need it because I'm just gonna talk a little bit about, I know, something I haven't talked about in a while, the coronavirus. I see what's happening today. It hit me today. And this confirms what I think is going to happen. Now, I was close. I've been on the line thinking, like, maybe I'm wrong about this. And then I stopped myself, like, wait a minute, maybe you're wrong? I got that out of my head quickly enough. And I realized that this is what's happening right now. The left in the United States. It's the same thing Satan does. I'll start with Satan. Satan overplays his hand. He does too much. He doesn't know when to quit. He thinks when he's on a roll that he just goes crazy and he stays on a roll. And he thinks that it's good to be on a roll. And he doesn't realize that he's making himself look bad. He's going too much. He killed Christ. That was too much. Just too much. It actually sealed his own fate / destiny of being reconciled to God. So it ends up being all good in the end. But evil does overplay its hand, and that's when it's finally exposed. And the left in this country has always presented itself as the left /socialist/communist. It's always presented itself as, yes, I'm going to talk about the coronavirus shortly here, then I'm going to finish Romans 8. It's always presented itself as, we care for you, and we have your best interests in mind. We're the compassionate party. The Democratic Party is basically the pill where leftism and socialism and communism is put into the pill. And it's a pretty pink pill. And so the Democratic Party is a carrier for that ideology here in the United States. And so they've always tried to present themselves as moderate, as we're the ones who care. Those evil conservatives, all they care about is money and themselves, even though if you look at charitable contributions, conservatives give much more than liberals. Because you see, the left wants all the rules to apply to everybody else. They want you to be generous. And if you're not, then they'll just take your money from you in the form of confiscatory tax rates. That's what they'll do. And they'll always come across again as the champion of the poor, the champion of the underclass, the champion of minorities. But actually, they can't survive without these people. And they will strive to keep people in their little boxes, keep people in their little minority places. They need people to be dependent on them or they do not survive. Leftists, socialists, communists, they need people to depend on them. And so it's in their best interest to keep people dependent. The worst enemy to socialism or communism or leftism is self-sufficiency. They hate self-starters. They hate businesses that start up. They hate low tax rates because then, oh my God, people are going to make it on their own. We can't have that. And they can't. So the whole selling point of the Democratic Party in this country lately, a la Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, has been to hide what they are. And many millions of people bought into the lie. They actually buy into the lie. Leftism is actually deceitful. By its very nature, it's deceitful because it presents itself as something that's going to help you. But in the end, it helps them. They try to convince you that it helps you because we're going to give you money. We're going to give you a free education. We're going to give you free housing, which really takes away the striving in each of us to be the best that we can be. You can't be the best that you can be under leftism because there are ceilings. In communism, everything's the same. Nobody can make more than somebody else, so there's no motivation. There's no drive to be better, to improve yourself, because when you improve yourself, they just take it. Of course, in this country, the left, the socialists, they love to take your money. It's legalized robbery. Yeah, they do it involuntarily, of course. Yes, we are going to take your money. We're going to tax you at 60, 70, 80% to give to the people who aren't doing anything. So people are screwed on both ends. On both ends, because the people who aren't doing anything, they get an incentive to keep not doing anything. And the people, because they're getting the money of the people who are doing things, and the people who are doing things, they're disincentivized from doing more because the more they do, the more money's going to be taken from them. It's evil. It's evil, evil, evil. But now, here's what's happening now. See, this is where the left is overplaying its hand. It's finally being seen now. The Democratic Party in this country and the leftists, they are power mad. They want power. And this coronavirus has been the perfect opportunity for them to control other people. And in the blue states, that is the Democratic states in the United States, there are so many arbitrary and totalitarian laws and rules that have nothing to do with the coronavirus, nothing to do with it, because the coronavirus is actually going down. It's disintegrating, going away, but they don't want it to go away because they become addicted to this power, and this is what they're after all along. Leftists want to mess with your life. They want to tell you how much you can eat, how much you can drink, how much money you can make, where you can live, where you can't live. They're just obsessed with controlling your life. People on the right, however, they don't give a damn. They don't give a damn about your life. They want you to be the best you can, and they're going to remove all the obstacles you can. You live your life, I'll lead my life, leave me the hell alone, and I'll leave you the hell alone. We're not that interested in managing other people. Just leave people alone. But for some reason, the left just wants to manage you, and they're wanting to, you know, control your free speech. This is happening today. I'm going to link you to a video. I hate to do this because I've told you for years, don't watch the news if it depresses you. What do? I watch the news. It depresses me. I'm against my own teaching here, and it kind of bothers me. But I'm not too tough on myself. This is a video by Tucker Carlson, and he exposes some of these governors and the mayor of Chicago. Unbelievable. This looks like a movie. When you see the interview of the mayor of Chicago, you're going to think it's a movie. You're waiting for the director to yell cut after the end of this. It's Orwellian. It's 1984. It's Venezuela. It's Cuba. It's the old Soviet Union. It's North Korea. They have drones now in big cities. I think this was in New Jersey that bark commands. Do not gather. You are not immune to the coronavirus. It's just what we need, you know, more surveillance. Yeah, so this video is frightening. Somebody sent it to me. I watched it, and I'm like, then it hit me, though. I got happy. First, I got really upset and depressed. Then I got happy. Why did I get happy? Because I saw it then. They're overplaying their hand. A little over 50% of the people in this country want freedom. They want to live their lives. They don't want government intrusion. They want low taxes. They want to keep, in other words, they want to keep what they make. And they don't want to support indolent people. They're happy to contribute to those who are truly needy, but they don't want to contribute to people who are cheating on the welfare system, or they don't want to pay for health care for illegal immigrants. So over half of the country, thank God, is still sane. there's about 27-30% of the country that are hardcore leftists, socialists, communists. They want the government to take over. I don't know why, because they're not educated. They're stupid. They don't know where socialism and communism lead. They don't know history. They can't even tell you what century the Civil War was in, or the Revolutionary War. They don't even know what the Revolutionary War is. These are the millennials. They don't know shit about shit, generally. They think they do. They're posers. They're social justice warriors. They like to think that I'm political, but they just scream and scream and have no idea what they're talking about. These are the people that, yes, let's go socialist. No idea what they're talking about. So there's another 30%, 30, 40% in there in the country that is fooled by the left's advertising. That these are the compassionate people. These people really do care about us. Because up until this point, the left has hid their agenda to control people, to stop free speech. They have hid it behind this sheet mask. You saw me with my sheet mask not too long ago. But now, they're so... It's like red meat. It's like blood in the water. They see this coronavirus as an opportunity to take control. And now it's coming out who these freaking people are. The mask is off. And now this 30% that has been tricked before is going to see, like, wait a minute. This isn't what these people have been telling us. They're trying to control our free speech. They're trying to control whether we can get together or not. They're using drones to spy on us. This is the Democratic states in the United States that are doing this. The red states are a little slow. I'm a little pissed still at Ron DeSantis, who I of late have called Adolf DeSantis. I think Trump's a little slow to expose this stuff. Come on, DJT. Put this crap, give an address to the nation and tell the nation what these governors are doing. They are basically throwing away the Constitution of the United States. In the Constitution, in the Bill of Rights, we have the right to gather. We have the right to lawful assembly, and we are being denied that right, but nobody seems to notice. Watch this video linked below. It's going to make you upset, mad, depressed, and then happy because you're realizing that it's going to be exposed now. More people are going to see it. People are going to vote for Trump overwhelmingly. The economy is going to bounce back. I was a little iffy there for a while, a little iffy. I'm thinking, I wonder if this is it. There is going to be no resurgence. This is it. Trump is being hoodwinked by these damn doctors, and I absolutely believe that. Somebody proved me wrong. I'd love to be wrong about that. Love to be wrong about it. But I think he's catching on to these damn doctors, this Fauci and Burks. This thing, many of the deaths that are attributed to coronavirus are not due to coronavirus. People are carrying it. And there's a quote in this, I think it's, is it in this... Tucker Carlson video, there's a quote somewhere. They actually have Dr. Birx saying that if someone dies with coronavirus, they're counting it as dying of coronavirus. People are carrying the thing, the virus, without being showing symptoms, as I've told you before. And if they die, if they get hit by a car, they mark it down. Oh, they had coronavirus. And, of course, the hospitals are being incentivized to do that. Okay. It's all going to be, more people are going to see it now because these freaking power freaks are taking off the mask. Now, let's go to happier news here. Well, actually, a part of it's not too happy. I'm going to finish Romans chapter 8, God help me. And here it is. So, I covered that to death, that the only one who can condemn us is our Savior. The only one who can indict us is our justifier. We can't lose. Now we go to verse 35. Paul says this, What shall be separating us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? This is really another rhetorical question, because after stating very plainly and repeatedly that God and Christ are our advocates at the throne of God, and our enemies can throw spitballs at us. They can shoot cannons at us. Doesn't matter. I love what I said yesterday about Satan. When Satan brings an accusation against me, it's like, nice try. So this is the logical result of that. Verse 34. What shall be separating us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Quick answer, nothing. But Paul goes through things that in our life we could possibly think, or we have possibly thought, that they could separate us from the love of God. And it's this. What shall be separating us from the love of God? Affliction? I'm going to go through these one by glorious one. Because all these things that Paul's about to list are happening to you right now. All of you. Paul wants to list these things. He doesn't have to. All he has to say is, what shall be separating us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? In Christ Jesus. Obvious answer based on what went before. Nothing. Impossible. But he's going to list the things that can't separate us from Christ, from the love of God. And by listing these things, he's talking to himself. Paul is. He's definitely suffering from all these things. And he's talking to us. And I'm all ears. What shall be separating us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Affliction? Distress? Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Danger? Sword? Paul goes on then, according as it is written, on thy account, on your account, God, we are being put to death the whole day. That's the bad news there, being put to death the whole day. And you see, I'm not too crazy about this. That's why I get the Jim Beam here. I got some Jack Daniels too, but tonight I'm drinking the Jim Beam Kentucky bourbon. Bourbon, all bourbon is whiskey, but not all whiskey is bourbon. You have to be from Kentucky to be a bourbon. And I'm drinking this because of this passage. See that? Kentucky straight bourbon. Bourbon is from Kentucky. And if it's not from Kentucky, it's not bourbon. It's still whiskey. Hope I'm making myself clear. Here's the tough part. On thy account, we are being put to death the whole day. Yay! We are reckoned as sheep for slaughter. Yay! Notice, we didn't put ourselves in any of this stuff. I didn't grow up wanting to be a sheep led to slaughter. No, I wanted to be a professional pool player. Then for a while, I wanted to be a veterinarian. Then for a while, I wanted to be a football player. Then after a while, I wanted to... I know, that's pretty much it, man. I didn't want to be a sheep led to slaughter. None of us sign up for this, but we find ourselves in this path. However, what shall be separating us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Affliction, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword. According as it is written, on thy account, we're being put to death the whole day. We are reckoned as sheep for slaughter. And then Paul says this in verse 37. I'm going to show you my Bible here because you will see this word that I have highlighted. Paul says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquering through him who loves us. In all these things. I want you to look at this. I'm going to point this out to you with my sunglasses. I don't have a pen here. I'm going to use this for a pointer right here. All right, this is going to be my pointer. This is hard to do because I have to manage a lot of things here. In all these things. Okay, here we go. Can you see my Bible here? Romans 8. Romans 8. I can't see what I'm doing here. Can you see Romans 8, 35, whatever? Oh, there it is. There it is. There it is. I see it now. Everything's falling apart here. My Bible's falling apart. My Bible's falling apart as I'm doing the show. Look at this. Look at this. Help me. In. There. Oh, I can't see. Okay, there. See that word in? I have circled that. And I think I circled that in 1986. In all these things, we are more than conquering. See that? In all these things, we are more than conquering. Why did I circle the word in? Because it is the goal of Christianity to get you out of these things. Just ask Joel Osteen. He doesn't think you should be in any of these things. If you're in any of these things, a piece of my Bible just fell out. Look at that. This is a part of Romans. This is Romans chapter 8. It's an artifact now. It's an artifact. Joel Osteen doesn't think you should be in any of these things. If you're in affliction, if you're in distress, if you're naked, my God, if you're naked, you can't afford clothes. You're just not living the good life. Don't you know every day's a Friday? You're not living your best life. If you're in affliction or if you're distressed, you should have more faith. You should go to Joel's church and everything will be fine. No, Paul says, in all these things, we're more than conquering. This is that thing where when I am weak, then I am powerful. When I am weak, then I am powerful. When I'm afflicted, I'm powerful. When I'm distressed, I'm powerful. When I'm persecuted, I'm powerful. When I'm hungry, I'm powerful. When I'm naked, I'm powerful. Wow, we already know that. When I'm distressed, I'm powerful. Under persecution, famine, this whole thing. You are powerful. And Paul, that's why Paul says, in all these things, we are more than conquering through him who loves us. So the love of God and the love of Christ overcomes all these things that we would consider detriments. Obviously, we would not consider them assets. These are things we don't want to be in, but we find ourselves in. We're afflicted left and right. We're distressed left and right. I'm distressed by this political situation, by the world being so dumbed down that they'll just wear masks everywhere. Stupid. I mean, I just can't believe this is happening. I'm distressed about it. Persecution, yeah. I've been called a false prophet. I've been called a liar. I've been called a cheat. I've been called all kinds of nasty lies. And part of me, yeah, let me join the Pentecostal religion so I can get prayed out of all these things. That's what they want to do for you at Joel Osteen's church or in all the Pentecostal movements. They want to pray you out of these things. Yeah, not in. They don't want to keep you in these things. You're afflicted. Come to our church meeting Wednesday night. The Holy Spirit's going to be here at 7 o'clock. We're going to deliver you from your problems. We're going to take all your distresses, all your persecutions, and we're going to claim the name of Jesus Christ, and we're going to cast out the devil. We're going to cast out Satan, and you're going to be saved from all your afflictions and distresses and persecutions. Well, Paul wouldn't have it. Paul says, in all these things, we're more than conquering through him who loves us. So screw it. God loves us. Screw the rest of this stuff. Then Paul says this. Did I cover everything? Affliction? Fill in the blanks in your own life. Distress, fill in the blanks in your own life. Persecution, I was just persecuted by Janet. Fill in the blanks. Famine, well, by the grace of God, I live in the United States. We generally have food here. It's not that way. Hundreds of thousands of people die every year from famine. Nakedness, danger. Yeah, we're in danger every day. We're living at the end of Eon 3, which is the most evil eon. Paul prophesied in 2 Timothy chapter 3. In the last days, perilous periods will be present. We're in these perilous periods. So, yeah, we're surrounded by danger. Sword, and not so. Nakedness, well, not unless we want to be naked. We don't have to be naked in this country. Some people have to be naked, so this doesn't apply to us generally. Danger, yes. Sword, not so much. Guns, yes. According as it is written, on thy account are we being put to death the whole day. Now, this is strange because nobody wants to be put to death the whole day. And, of course, it's figurative. Well, it's literal in that we're mortal, but it's figurative in that we are suffering the sufferings of Christ. When Christ was put to death, as you know, we were associated with him in his death. And Paul says, I think in Colossians 1:25, that he is filling up. No, he completes the word of God. Where does he say he's filling up the afflictions of Christ? I'll put the reference down here. We are also filling up the afflictions of Christ. That's why there's a allusion to Christ here when it says, on your account, we're being put to death the whole day, reckoned as sheep for slaughter. Our Lord was reckoned as a sheep for slaughter. He was the Lamb of God. And we are walking in his footsteps, not voluntarily, but by him who subjects us. We often use that passage from Romans 8 about the whole of humanity being subjected to vanity, not voluntarily, but because of him who subjects us. Well, I can say the same thing now about trials, about these persecutions. I'm not walking into them on purpose, but when we see again the reward, the payoff for suffering, we're going to be glad we went through this stuff. Paul says, in all these things, we're more than conquering through him who loves us. And I'll close with this. I am persuaded, Paul says, that neither death, nor life, nor messengers, nor sovereignties, nor the present, nor what is impending, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. Our friend Nelson Howe just died. Paul says here that death will not separate us from the love of God. The love of God is not absent from the life that was Nelson Howe, that is now in repose. God remembers our brother Nelson Howe, and he will come from the grave. We can understand how neither death won't be separating us from the love of God, because death is a bad thing. But why does Paul say, nor life? How could life separate us from the love of God? Because we're involved in life. Because we get distracted by life. Because many of us berate ourselves for being too involved in life, being too worried about the details of life. But Paul says, not even life is going to separate you from the love of God. It's almost easier to see that death can't be separating you from the love of God. Because, yeah, well, the dead can't sin. They can't be distracted. They can't do stupid things. But the living, they can sin, be distracted, and do stupid things all day. Yet even life is not separating us from the love of God. It's not fantastic that death is not separating us from the love of God, but life, every minute you live, according to the Christian religion, you're on probation. You're constantly in danger of screwing everything up. But Paul says, no, not even your life can separate you from the love of God. I love that truth. Nor messengers, angelos in the Greek, angels, that is spiritual powers that want to kill us, that want to destroy us. Satan himself is a messenger of light. So the adversary himself cannot separate us from the love of God. He's coming after us. He's coming after me. But he can't get us because we have that sheen of Christ that's closer to us than he is. Nor sovereignties. Ooh, these are the big boys. These are the powerful celestial beings. Well, Satan would be included in those, but his minions, his second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth in command, they can come after you, but they won't be able to unless God appoints them. But nevertheless, they can't separate us from the love of God. We're totally in. Nor the present, nor what is impending. The present, this goes along with life, can't be separating us from the love of God, because that's our present. Cannot separate us from the love of God. Nor powers, nor height, nor depth. Oh, that which is impending. I like that part. What's impending from our perspective? The tribulation. But we're not going to the tribulation, so it couldn't separate us from the love of God even if we went through it, but we're not going through it because we're not appointed to indignation. Not height, nor depth, nor any other creation. In case I missed anything, nor any other creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why? Because our God is more able than anything I just listed there, anything Paul just listed there, anything the Holy Spirit just said to us through our Apostle Paul. We are safe. We're sealed. We're protected. We have the two most powerful beings in the universe on our side. This is why Paul can say, in another place, Philippians 4:6, do not worry about anything. Now you see why he can say that. It's not based on a dream or on wishful thinking. It's based on the truth.